Thank you. that for timing?
Yes.
Good morning to you all. I hope you've enjoyed the sunshine walking here. I fear we might not see it for a while. But we need the rain, don't we? There's a prayer going to come up, or I'm going to say a prayer, and there'll be pictures coming up that I hope you enjoy. So let's pray. Prayerful God, maker of the giggle, the smile, the laugh, help us to cast off the sadness of the day, whatever it is. And may we come into your presence rejoicing, for you are the great creator, the designer of the butterfly's wing, the mountain grandeur, the song of the blue tit, and the dance of the snowflake. Help us now to stop and just to appreciate your amazing creativity. May we not confuse reverence with solemnity, faith with formality. Give us a life-changing, invigorating faith. Help us to remember you called us your children, that our names are engraved on the palm of your hands, and that you welcome us with open arms. Amen. I walked here this morning. You know what I enjoy most is walking through the leaves while they're nice and dry. And they make a crinkly noise if there's such a thing, don't they? Do you like walking through the leaves? But I think you've got something to celebrate. Am I right? Two of you got something to celebrate? No? And how old are they? Six. Will you come and join me? You're not shy. I do not believe it. Yeah, come on, Mum, as well. 6 years old, are you? 6 years old. How lovely. I wish I was six. I'll tell you what else I wish. I wish I'd got your energy. We're going to sing to you. Yes? Turn up for the book, is it not? And I don't know which is which. That's Alex in the pink.
Yes.
And that's Kate.
Yes.
And you're Elizabeth. Do we call you Elizabeth or do we call you something shorter? What do we
call Ellie or Libby sometimes as well?
Ellie or Libby. You must have a very quiet household. Did you get any presents? What did you get? You know, when I was six, do you know what I got? No, I did not get a piece of coal. That's at Christmas. in your stocking?
Yeah.
I did get that one year. Oh, my mum did. My mum did. And she had to dig right down to the end of the stocking, pull out the piece of coal, and there was some jewellery for her. She was thrilled to bits. She lived to 98 and she'd still got that piece of jewellery. And I still got it. Special. What did you say when you opened your presents? Yes. Thank you. And you know, that's something we sometimes forget to say, isn't it? We take everything for granted, don't we? And there's so much to say thank you for at the minute. The beautiful trees, the late flowers, those leaves that go crunch, crunch, crunch. Lots of things. When my boys were, well, they were older than you, they came rushing home from school one day and said, "Mum, we've learnt a new hymn and it's much better than the thing you sing. And it's in our hymn book. And it's all about saying thank you. I wonder if you could play the chorus, please." It goes, "And I mustn't forget," I won't sing it because I'll put you off. "I mustn't forget. Just play the chorus again, please. "So I mustn't forget." And let's sing it. It's easy. Right. And it lists, doesn't it, all the things that we ought to say thank you for. Phil, can you put the screen on the back, please? Or somebody. Thank you. Yes, we'll do it with the words and pictures. See if I've got the pictures right. Right. I've had my orders.
So
The first thing any preacher has to decide when leading worship is what to preach about. I looked at the lectionary and I thought, I haven't got really much to say about that. What can I preach about? And then I came across a prayer. I don't know where it's come from, but it seems so apt for the times we live in. And it goes like this. Loving God, increase my faith in you. When confronted with the magnitude of the world's suffering, give me the grace to trust in the long haul. When besieged by doubt or despair, remind me to look for the small signs of your presence embedded in the daily details of my life. When tempted towards cynicism and negativity, grace me with a mellow heart so that I can find hope in beauty, in love, and in laughter. With deep faith, I pray. With deep faith, I pray. So let's go back to the first sentence. I've actually got a 3-point sermon. Unusual. But the first part of the prayer says, when confronted with the magnitude of the world's suffering, and we don't have far to look, do we? Give me the grace to trust in the long haul. How long have we been praying? Picture, please. How long have we been praying for peace in the Middle East? Yeah, years and years and years, as long as I can remember. And that's a long time. But we celebrated at the beginning of the week, didn't we, that maybe the dove of peace was flying over the Middle East. The news this morning isn't quite so positive. Let's trust in the long haul. One person who immediately came to my mind when I read that was Saint Augustine and his mum. He was born in North Africa in 354 AD, just a bit ago. He grew up in a household that valued education and culture. But like many teenagers, he rebelled. He pursued pleasure rather than education, and he even fathered a child at the age of 19. But as the years went on, we are told that he found himself unfulfilled and empty. His mum was called Monica, and she was a Christian, married to a pagan. And Monica watched with great sadness her son's journey, and she prayed faithfully for his conversion to Christ. For 17 long years, she prayed every day that Augustine's heart and mind would finally become open, that he might have an authentic encounter with Christ and be reformed. Eventually, Augustine did experience a profound transformation, influenced by his mum and by the preaching of Ambrose, the Bishop of Milan. Augustine recounts how a divine voice urged him to take up and read. leading him to a passage in Romans that prompted him to abandon his life of sin and embrace Christianity. How his mother must have rejoiced. This is what he read. "Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Trust in the long haul." Who recognizes this lady?
Was she from the wrong congregation?
Yes. Well, who do you think the baby is?
You?
No. That's Joshua, my youngest grandson. You see him from time to time. That's her first name is the name of a flower. Lily. Lily. Yeah, well done, Jean. Can always relax. Lily Bloxage. You remember?
Yes, Coppice
Road. That's right, Coppice Road. When I was a lay worker here, I got to know Lily, well, very well. I became very fond of her. She used to come on a Wednesday when we had something called Friends Together, which was really for the over 75s. Like an older version of Ladies' Fellowship. Now it's all combined as Ladies' Fellowship have got older. But at Friends Together, we used to meet every fortnight, I think, and we had a speaker. And one Wednesday, the speaker didn't appear. And I thought, oh no, you know, what am I going to do? So we sat in the foyer out there, and I said to them, "Does anybody have a favourite passage of the Bible that's really influenced them, that they know really well?" Before I'd got the words out of my mouth almost, Lily's voice piped up. "That's easy," she said. "The 23rd Psalm." And as she never usually spoke, and as she began to go through it, line by line, telling us what it meant to her, I think our eyes went like saucers and our mouths fell open. And when she'd done it, she said to me, "It's taken me 93 years to speak out about my faith." Don't let it be 93 years before you speak out in public, or just to one person. I'll never forget Lily. As I went round to her house, she took me into her bedroom and she showed me that she got the Lord's Prayer embroidered, beautifully embroidered, and a huge picture. So that when she lay in bed, that's what she saw. So every single night, she said it to herself and she meditated on it. And she would sing it too, to Crimond. But then I taught her the Townend version because that's got the word, "And I will trust." So let's sing it now in memory of Lily. "The Lord's my shepherd." And the second sentence of our prayer, when besieged by doubt or despair, remind me to look for the small signs of your presence embedded in the details of my life. Imagine yourself sailing in a canal boat along one of England's beautiful canals. You travel at 4 miles an hour, and the worries of the world gradually become less and less. And you really appreciate the beautiful countryside and the common sights that you see. We did actually see a kingfisher twice. Whoa, beautiful sight. But at some point, as you drive along, you become aware that the land is falling away from you. Now, you can't go downhill in a canal for obvious reasons. The water will escape. So you have to go through a lock. Quietly, you sail into the lock. The engine is switched off. The only noise is the activity surrounding the lock gates and the paddles being opened to let the water out. Slowly, you begin to drop down into the lock. The warm sunshine and the beautiful view gradually disappear, to be replaced by black, slimy lock sides. The air is suddenly chill and foreboding. But even down here, you become aware of the bright green fronds of fern clinging to the walls. And when the water levels are equal, the lock gates are opened and gradually you sail back into the sunshine, hopefully, and the beauty of the countryside. When you are in a dark place of despair, what do these ferns, what can they represent? Maybe, like Lily, a favourite Bible passage. Years ago, I went on a Christian counselling course, and the first person you look at is yourself. And sometimes that's not very pleasant, and you may enter a fairly dark place. I wonder if you can guess what was read to me. Later on, when I was in such pain from osteoporosis and could hardly walk, a visiting minister from Kenya arrived on our doorstep with the ministry of healing, and he opened his Bible, and what did he read? The same passage, Isaiah 43. See, Anne, I do like some of the Old Testament. When Isaiah wrote these words, the Israelites had been forced to leave the land that they loved and was and is indeed very beautiful. Their land had been conquered and they were exiled into Babylon, where all must have seemed very black, just like that lock. They'd left behind their own special way of life, including their temple, where they thought God lived. It's easy, isn't it, to praise God when life is bright and happy and all is well. But what happens in the locks of life? Exile for the Israelites, for us. Redundancy, bereavement, illness, marriage breakdown, just sheer loneliness. Can the Israelites, or indeed ourselves, raise our periscope of faith when things turn black? How do we cope? And it was into such a situation that the prophet Isaiah wrote. He wants to bolster the faith of the Israelites, and indeed many generations who come after them. So let's read what he said.
But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honoured in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life.
Let's look at the key phrases in that passage. Do not be afraid. Why not? I have redeemed you. The Israelites are about to be free from captivity. Put Jesus in the picture. He has redeemed us at great cost. I have called you by name. That's how well he knows us all. Our names are engraved on the palms of his hands. The third time I visited Israel, I'd just finished the local preacher's course. Anne Hall and Jill Dascombe went through it with me. We were named the Unholy Trinity. Oh boy, we had some fun. But obviously it was a serious thing. In a few weeks, I was about to be made a local preacher. And then in common with lots of people, you stop and you doubt. Can I do this? Is God really calling me? And we went to Cana in Galilee. And I've been reminded of this because that's what Stephen preached about last week. Some of the churches in Israel are new and they're beautiful. This one was a very old church. And I was first surprised because outside was a picture of St. George and the Dragon. Did you know that he's the patron saint of the Palestinians as well as us? Makes you think, doesn't it? Eventually we went in by the back door because there was a service going on. And we laughed because in every room we walked through were big stone water jugs. It was as though everybody in the local locality had said, we don't need these anymore. Let's give them to the church in Cana. They talk about these water jugs. Eventually we got into the church and there was a communion service going on. People were knelt around an area a bit like this. We crept in. The minister was speaking in, I have not a clue. I knew I couldn't understand him. What he was speaking, I don't remember. And then all of a sudden, or so it seemed, he began to sing, and he sang in English. And this is what he sang. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have called you and you are mine. Seek the face of the Lord and learn of him. He will bring you his peace and his grace. A bit of Isaiah 43 again. It wasn't just emotion I felt, but a great sense of conviction. It was as though God was saying, stop your doubting and get on with it. I have called you by name. You are mine. We are his people. We are his property. We are under his protection. We live by his provision. Trust him. And I will be with you, especially when times are bad. Here, I think, is realism, for we all suffer at some stage in our life, and that might be now. And we can't explain why awful things happen. God never promised to take the bad times away, did he? But he promised to give us the strength to get through, if we trust. So fear not. Words we need to hear over and over again when life is black. The Israelites trusted those words, can we? Remember the canal. Look for the green ferns in dark places. God's word given to you at the right moment. Someone cares, someone who cares enough to come round, to help, to visit, to pray with you. Coincidences that are really God instances. Let's learn to trust. But then Isaiah has more to say.
This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland.
Thank you. Isaiah reminds the Israelites about the time when he released them from captivity in Egypt, when Moses led them across the Red Sea, and the following army was drowned. That's surely what he's referring to in the first couple of lines. And then he says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. 1 minute he's saying, remember, and then he's saying, don't dwell on the past. Remember it, yes. Learn from it. But don't get stuck in it, so tied that you miss the opportunities of today and the future. Think of your difficulties. Come to terms with them. Learn from them. Open your eyes and look for new opportunities to build on what you've learnt. Look out at the world with fresh compassion in your eyes. Think of the father of one of the girls who was horrendously murdered in Southport. What's he doing now? He's not forgotten, far from it. But he's running marathons to raise money to help other children. Do you remember Katie Piper? Somebody does. You again. She was a model, wasn't she? And she fell out with her boyfriend. And he threw acid in her face. And she was horribly scarred. In hospital, one of the nurses began to talk to her, maybe even risking a job. She said to Katie, things happen for a reason. This is not the end. God has great things in store for you. And that night, Katie prayed for the very first time. Then she says the weirdest thing happened. The room seemed incredibly bright, and I felt enveloped in a warm hug. A voice in my head said, "Everything is going to be okay." And she gave her life to Christ. Her faith has sustained her through many operations and even gave her the strength to say to her former boyfriend, "I forgive you." And for a while she became a presenter, didn't she, in songs of praise. Nobody's saying this is easy. It isn't. Somebody once said to me, "When you're flat on your back, there's only one way to look, up. But make sure, I haven't got one here, you've got the right thing in your hand, a Bible." We learnt a new hymn at the Wednesday service that really reflects what I've said. I think, David, you might need to...
We've chosen a well-known tune.
Oh, okay. Sorry. That's fine. No, it's all right. It's all right. "God of my faith, I offer you my doubts.
Thank you.
Powerful words. And the third sentence, when tempted towards cynicism and negativity, grace me with a mellow heart that I can find hope in beauty, love, and laughter. I love autumn. I just love it, the colours. And I remember being on a Christian counselling course at Waverley Abbey near Farnham. I couldn't sleep one night, so I got up early and went into the woods. Well, I say early, it was this time of the year, so it wouldn't be that early. It was a beautiful morning, clear blue sky, and the sun already giving out its strength, its warmth. As I meandered through the woods, I was stopped in my tracks by a huge, I'm told it was a tulip tree. I didn't argue, I wouldn't know. Like this one, in its autumn coat of green, yellow, and orange. There'd been a frost the night before, and the sun was glistening off the moisture on the leaves. It was awesome. I stood and I marvelled. And as I stood stock still, a rabbit popped up from amongst the roots. And then I noticed high, high up, there were squirrels darting about in the branches. There was even the remains of a bird's nest up there. It was ageless, strong, peaceful, welcoming. A place of safety. It gave life and shelter to myriads of creatures. It provided shelter from the sun and from the rain. And as I stood there, I found myself slipping my shoes off, which was a stupid thing to do because the grass was wet with dew. But I felt like Moses. I was standing on holy ground. For me, this tree became a picture of God and gave me much needed peace. Words of Paul came into view. Next one, please. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. It was an image of great stability. Think what happens when trees are removed from the rainforest, when ecological systems are wiped out. But what gives it its stability? Its roots, of course. The tree was huge. How big must its roots be? When we first moved into Hazel Grove, we had a fairly new house at the far corner of an estate. I could picture the clay and the rubble being moved from house to house as people moved in, and we copped for a lot of it. We should have removed it and put lots of topsoil down. But when you've got a toddler and another child on the way, it's not exactly a priority. So in the front garden, we just planted bushes. I almost felt sorry for them, thinking what was underneath them. And they stayed there for 5, 6, 7 years. They didn't move. And then all of a sudden, they began to grow. Why? I guess because their roots were established and the bush was now getting fed. If my tree is an image of a Christian or a church, then we need good roots. And what gives us good roots? Prayer, Bible study, discussion, worship. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labour in vain. We have two prayer groups here, one on a Tuesday night that David leads, and that's led very ably. We have one on a Wednesday morning that's much more informal, and if people want to, they can join in the prayer. We have a wonderful Bible study, don't we, Anne, on a Monday that's growing. You might think a Bible study is very serious. Is it, Anne? We do. Sometimes we have wonderful fellowship. Sometimes we laugh. And we share. We share the difficulties and we share the joys. Why don't you join us? Why not? The invitation is there. Build up your roots. Let's sing again. Tuesday night, it's at 8:30.
It's going to change to 7:45.
Oh, it's going to change to 7:45. 7:45. On a Wednesday morning, it's at 9:45. The Bible study on a Monday is at 10:00-ish. Let's sing. Sorry? Sorry, I can't hear. And we have a drink afterwards, and a biscuit, and cake if you're lucky. And the fellowship continues. It's great. Join us. Wouldn't it be great if we had to split it into two because there were too many of us? Lord, I come to you.
Every day.
So we're going to move into a time of quite personal prayer, using the image of trees. Images will appear on the screen if that helps you. If not, close your eyes and use your imagination. And we will be singing at various times. Be still and know that I am God. It's just three lines. You'll know it. Let's pray. Picture an autumn tree. The leaves are ready to fall. They have to let go of the tree. In the same way, we have to let go of the things that we cling to that prevent Jesus becoming our Lord and Saviour. What do you need to let go of so that Jesus can take authority in your life? Pride, fear, addictions, some of which may be harmless in themselves, unforgiveness, painful memories, wrongdoings. But God is saying to us, before you can truly do this, you need to be still and know that I am God.
Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God.
Now let's let go of all that keeps you from God. Let them fall to the ground just like the leaves of the tree. Now picture the bare tree in winter in its stark beauty. Now the leaves have gone, the tree has room to grow new branches when the warmth of the sun hits it anew in the spring. In the same way, God waits to bless us with new life. He wants to replace the dead leaves, those things we've let fall, with new growth. He wants to increase in us the fruits and gifts of the Spirit. He may want to take us on a new journey of faith. Ask for his blessings. Now pray for the people you know personally who may feel like that bare tree, alone, abandoned, lonely, sick, worried. Name them in your hearts and ask for God's healing touch to be upon them. And we remember God's promise. I am the Lord who saves and heals.
I am.
Picture now the tree in spring, alive with colour, as the blossom grows and new leaves appear. This is God's promise. The desert will rejoice and flowers will bloom in the wilderness. The desert will sing and shout for joy. It will be as beautiful as the Lebanon. Lord, increase our faith in you as we sing, in you, O Lord, I put my trust.
In you, O Lord, I put my trust. In you.
Are all very personal prayers, but it would be very wrong if we didn't pray for Israel and Gaza. Father, we give thanks that the peace process at least started, and we pray, Lord, that it will continue. We pray too for Ukraine and Russia, that the talks that are taking place will bring peace and a lasting peace to this part of your world. God's promise is for today, tomorrow, and always, to the end of the age. And it's for all people. So let's simply end by rejoicing as we sing, "Give me the faith that can remove and sink the mountain to a plain."
Oh.
May wisdom herself take root in us, grow strong and tall within us. May she touch what is old and dead, and make us beautiful and fragrant, like cedars and olive trees. May she spread out her branches and shelter us, and as the tree of life sustains and heals us, so may our fruit and leaves be a source of life for this church, this community, for Poynton, and indeed for the world. Amen. Let's say the grace to one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.